Meeting of the Rules Committee to order. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Senators Bates.
Here.
Bates here. Monning.
Here.
Monning here. Roth.
Here.
Roth here. Wilk.
Present.
Wilk here. Atkins.
Here.
Atkins here.
And before we get to our main item, I'm going to ask if I can get a consent calendar of item number 2, the bill referrals, item 3, subcommittees, and item 4 through 13, which are floor acknowledgments.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Will you call the roll?
Senators Bates.
Aye.
Bates, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk.
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Atkins.
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
Thank you. That passes 5-0. And welcome. You are here on picture day, so we all look our best, photograph day. I want to go ahead and invite our appointee, governor's appointees, and ask Thomas Porter to come up as the appointment to the Director of Forestry and Fire Protection. Thank you and welcome. We would invite you to acknowledge folks that may have come with you today, if you would like, and then do your opening comments, remarks, and then we'll go right into questions and comments. Welcome.
And before I sit down, I will introduce you to my family. My wife, Rebecca Porter, my sister from Alaska.
Welcome.
Kristen, my younger son, Isaiah, older son, Moshe, my mother-in-law, Lori Eisenberg, and Mackenzie Pringle, she goes with Isaiah.
Welcome to the entire family. This must be a big deal. No, I'm kidding. I know. It is for California, too.
Somebody
thank
said
you.
It was. And Madam Pro Tem Atkins, thank you, and thank you all members of the committee for hearing me today. I have to also thank Governor Newsom for appointing me early in his time as governor. I was very happy that I was able to join the emergency services team and for the state and follow Ken Pimlott. It's been a very humbling moment for me to be sitting in this seat before you and put here by those efforts of so many others. I think what I want to really frame this, where I see us in California is related to climate change and the lens that has put on all of our activities. My operations under CAL FIRE are poised to do just what they have been designed to do, respond to wildfires, respond to the forest health issues that need to be dealt with. But this climate change kind of lens that we're under is really a call to action that we have never seen in our generation. We are going to be responding to the kind of emergencies that we've been seeing, whether they're fires or floods or other types of emergencies for the foreseeable future. And I see that not only is CAL FIRE poised to do such, respond, but CAL FIRE is very much in a position to have some positive effect on the future and meet the California's climate goals and help with that process. Forestry is absolutely one of the key elements to reversing where we are with the climate and helping California to be a leader in the world in that area. We also are a leader in the development of fire-safe building codes and those kind of things through our Fire Prevention Program in the Office of the State Fire Marshal, and then our response capabilities are second to none in the world. And I'm going to close with a very biased statement on my part, and understand that I have worked for CAL FIRE for over 20 years, and I believe that CAL FIRE is the best department and is positioned in a place to carry this ball into the future and really show the world what we need to be doing, and do that with the state of California and all its might behind it. So thank you for letting me have an opening statement. Thank you for your consideration, and I look forward to answering any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. I'm going to look to my left and start with Senator Monning.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem, Madam Chair. I want to thank the Director Designate, congratulate you on the governor's confidence, and thank you for your many years of service to the state of California. I also want to acknowledge your family and thank them for sharing you with us. I know there's probably been many fire seasons where you've been a rare occurrence on the home front, but that does lead into one of my questions with our, I enjoyed our conversations, and we've had some opportunities. I think we first met at the Soberanis fire in my district, which was large and devastating, fortunately, mostly to forest and not to humans, although there were some notable casualties. The governor has identified 35 fire prevention projects as the cornerstone of the Community Wildfire Prevention and Mitigation Report. I wonder if you could just share with the committee the timeline on that. What's the current status report, and how were those communities identified?
Thank you, Senator Monning. The 35 projects that are called out in the 45-day report, I'll call it, are all equal priority. I want to make sure that's clear. Every one of those projects we will be taking as the number one priority in the geographic area that it's in. The time frame for acting on those is start as soon as possible. Some of them that had some of the CEQA work done ahead of time are ready to start today. The rest of them are in a very short review process that we're working with the secretaries of Natural Resources and EPA on an expedited review of. And that includes the best management practices that will be employed on every single one of those projects.
Great. Well, thank you. And then also just wanted to follow up. You shared some interesting information yesterday. Responder fatigue, the concerns of longer fire season, longer time of separation, firefighters and families, and just the physical, emotional fatigue and sometimes trauma on the front lines of fire. How is CAL FIRE approaching that? And maybe if you could share with the committee what some of the expected days of service are when you're in active firefighting mode, because I found it kind of amazing, the continuous days of work.
Yes, we ask a lot of our state firefighters and emergency responders across the board. Some of those are firefighters. They're also support through all of the different agencies that respond. But I'll speak on behalf of CAL FIRE. We truly have asked our employees to go above and beyond. We are seeing a longer fire season. It's about 75 days longer every year than it has been, than it was 20 to 30 years ago and previous to that. So people aren't getting that winter break to start as early, or their springs are cut short. And so what we're finding is that the traditional just go, 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 is very difficult to maintain, and it's not a absolute formal 14 days and 21 days, but those are the two breaking points that we use. When an individual is out for 14 days, they need to have a reset for a day. If they're going to be out for 21 days, it's a 2-day reset. And as it stands in our informal policy now, we don't have a mechanism to return them home at that point. That is not a requirement, and that is
during
something,
that 1 or 2 day break.
That is true, right. And that is something that is concerning to me. That we have firefighters and emergency responders that are out for 21 days, may have 2 days of recovery in a hotel and go back to work for another 21 days, and that can happen over and over again. And firefighters at times have been out for 60 plus days without ever getting home to see their family.
Is that subject to review currently? Are there breaking points where adding an extra day to reset, or after 40 days or 50 days, you get a week or something that would help?
We need to review the entire our entire system. And part of the difficulty we've had in making adjustments on the fly, and I'll say that is while these seasons have been wearing on, is that we don't have enough firefighters in order to backfill the commitment that we're making to every fire. Mm-hmm. And so we're short the bodies to do actually what we would like to be doing. And that's something that I have been working through this budget and in every budget change proposal that we put forward. We are staffing appropriately the engines and the different apparatus that need to be covered with the proper number of positions per seat, and trying to work where we can to bolster the areas where we're short.
Thank you. And then along these lines, my final question, Madam Chair, but you also shared some of the innovation and commitment to on-site counseling services. And could you just share the progress of some of that and the innovation that's underway?
Thank you, Senator Monning, for bringing that back. That is our employee support services program, and it is part of the proposed budget that is moving forward. It is a program that we have several employees that are already a part of. It's about 7 statewide. This would increase that but with another 14. And it is a program that allows us to go to the firefighters that and be where they are in order to take care of them. And take care of their emotional needs and other needs that they might have that they can't take care of themselves, especially when they're out on strike team assignments or as we said, can't get home for weeks on end. And so that is a program that we are very much looking to increase the use of. Another value to that program is we deploy a trailer that has these individuals in it at large and extended fires that have teams on them, and that service is available to all of our firefighters. That would be local government, the federal, our federal counterparts, out-of-state resources. If they're having issues, anybody can go to that trailer and get the same kind of support and help.
Well, thank you, and again, congratulations on your confidence the governor has in you, and I think you'll find we do as well, but thank you for your service.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator Bates.
Thank you. Let me echo the comments of the good senator to my left, Senator Monning, on your appointment and certainly the respect that you have mounted actually throughout your career. We had the opportunity to share some of that in terms of your background. I know when we met in my office, director, can I call you that? That's not bad luck, right? I'm gonna vote for you, so you're in. Anyway, that my community, the Senate district that I represent, has suffered in years past severely with wildland fires, and the community is built right up to that interface. So defensible space issues are certainly the responsibility of CAL FIRE to ensure that is being maintained in communities. Could you share with the committee and certainly the people here your role in that? And it's been effective certainly in South Orange County that I think it's important for people to understand that that has been ongoing and probably is being ramped up as we see what happened with the latest wildfires.
Absolutely, Senator. And the importance of defensible space is very clear. Where defensible space is maintained, and that is at the landowner's expense and landowner's action. Where it is maintained, the homes are less likely to burn. It is not a silver bullet. As I mentioned, none of the things that we're going to be talking about here today, of their own, is a silver bullet. But defensible space is something that the landowner can do, and it's important. So by us, and I'm going to talk to this from the CAL FIRE perspective, and then I'm going to add the Contract County perspective, which Orange County is. And Orange County effectively is CAL FIRE in Orange County. And so there is no difference in the way the state responsibility area should be maintained and the inspections that should be done, and then the firefighting that should be done in those state responsibility areas. So the Orange County Fire Authority under Brian Fennessy as their chief, they do the same inspections that we do for defensible space, and we are inspecting for compliance. We're looking to get compliance, and the statewide goal is to have an active inspection going on every home in the state responsibility area once every 3 years. We're not able to, we don't have the capacity currently to do every single year, and we are working toward the target of every third year. And so that is, it's a quarter of a million inspections that we're trying to do every year across the state. And that is what we're doing in that space.
Excellent. Actually, the Fire Authority in Orange County, maybe its best practices work through our homeowner associations. We have to maintain fuel modification zones, and they're doing some regular communication education because there are certainly large developments that are not in HOAs, but they've started to take that on, and I think that's certainly because you all have worked so closely together. That's been very meritorious in getting people to understand the danger there. My last question, another one that we discussed, was regarding the evacuation routes and the assistance with resources, financial, to those communities as they're going forward and ensuring that they have the money. We had, when I was on the Orange County Board of Supervisors, we had to not approve a couple of projects because they hadn't planned that. And certainly the oversight of the Fire Authority at that time regarding that issue was brought up in the CEQA review and all that, but your interface with that is very important, especially when we see what happened with the Camp Fire. So could you address how quickly you're able to get the resources or what you're doing to ensure that the resources can be there for existing and certainly planned, future planned communities to ensure that we have those?
Sure, and related to future communities, that's where the land use planning piece of what I, in my opening, is so important. And the engaging early in the safety element of general plans and ensuring that for all subdivisions and development that's going forward that we're making sure at the local level. And again, so we have an advisory mechanism here. And then when it comes to the very high fire severity zones, those plans then are reviewed and approved by the Board of Forestry and Fire Protection. Those safety elements and those requirements for secondary access and different types of egress, width of roads and those kind of things need to be there in future development. They also need to be considered strongly when redeveloping areas that have been destroyed by either wildfire or other natural or man-caused disaster. And one of the things we are seeing in the Paradise example from the Camp Fire the evacuation of Paradise, Concow, Magalia, while tragic and 85 people lost their lives, it wasn't through the mass evacuation that that happened. It was from the fire overrunning the location of the people that were, in some cases, stuck on some of those roads. But it was very much a success. Skyline is a two-lane each direction, so a four-lane road that was turned into four lanes going out of town. And they practiced this. They actually did a drill and switched the direction of the entire skyline to, from Paradise to Chico, and they practiced. So the people of Paradise knew what to do. And when that trigger was pulled, they knew that they had that corridor. That corridor was also an area where a lot of fuel reduction was done along that part of the highway. While there were thousands of cars on Skyline headed out of town, the fire was passing them down both sides of the highway. And they were able to make it out and down into Chico. And like I said, incredibly, only 85 people perished in that fire.
Well, thank you for that. And again, congratulations. You're certainly well prepared to do a great job in this new position. So we wish you the very best.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator Roth.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Sir, congratulations on your appointment. Incredible resume. We had a very informative conversation earlier, and I look forward to moving your confirmation at the appropriate time. I do want to follow up on a point or two that my colleague, Senator Monning, made with respect to the mental well-being of your fire crews. You know, the military has gone through this with deployment after deployment at historic rates, far beyond anything that I ever knew when I was in the service. And it has had its taken its toll on military members, and the military departments have had to develop and implement mental health programs to try to deal with some of these issues. Has the department looked to the military in terms of best practices as you were doing your review and setting up programs to deal with your own significant issues?
Well, thank you, Senator Roth, for that astute comment. We are very much looking to the military. We found that the military really has the closest model to what it is we are doing with our employees. There are other studies that have been done that have been more of domestic kind of response type of studies, but what CAL FIRE is doing and even surpasses what the Forest Service is seeing with their employees, because they do have a more fixed rotation than CAL FIRE does. And so looking at particularly the Marine Corps and some of the deployment study and concerns that they've been able to identify with successive deployments and length of deployment have been part of what we're looking at toward working with this employee support services program. The other thing that we're finding, which is also like the military, is sleep deprivation. And then what that then causes in the future as far as once you're sleep deprived, it's harder to get back on cycle and you become more sleep deprived. And then it changes the chemical composition of our bodies. It changes how our bodies react to different things like stress, carrying of weight, different things like that, which actually I was talking with our chief of the ESS program just this morning, and he's very much looking into all of these different studies that are out there that are going to be helpful in his crafting a program that will really be specific to the individual and the situation that they're seeing.
I was impressed with the fact that you're fielding field support units where firefighters can come and receive counseling. One question I do have, or a point, I would hope that we're not necessarily waiting for people to come to us. I know, in the military, we had a concept of that we called buddy care, where military members were trained to observe signs and signals of individuals in distress, and to bring that issue or the people to the attention of those who can best deal with the problem. And I would hope that as you're formulating your policies, you look to that and to training programs, training your fire crews to watch for signals of individuals who were in distress because of sleep deprivation or lengthy deployments or time away from families, so that if those individuals don't self-identify for whatever reason or pressure that exists out there, we get them to appropriate people who can provide the care necessary.
Senators, that is so important. And buddy care, peer support, is what we typically use as our term, but it's the same. And it's watching out for brothers and sisters and making sure that we're taking care of our own and that there's no stigma in doing so. And I've seen in the last 5 years of my career a very significant change in people's willingness to be open and talk about the issues they're having and really work through issues and reach out to our employee support services, in some cases to EAP as well when they get home. But I'm seeing a much more open group of individuals than I had previously in my career, and it's heartening. It's hard to talk about a lot of times, but it's important, and I feel like we're at a place where this is the right time. I really enjoy these questions because this is the, if I do nothing else as director, I'm gonna work to fix our employees.
Great, and I really look forward to working with you and the administration to ensure that you and your department are appropriately resourced to do the kinds of things that you've outlined that are absolutely essential. So congratulations again. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Roth. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, my colleagues asked all the questions I wanted to ask and did it well. Really enjoyed our conversation the other day. And it really, I think it's shown through during our conversation, just your passion and your commitment to the men and women who serve with you. And my biggest concern is, you know where you need to go. It's the resources that was just mentioned by Senator Ross. So I hope we do our job here in the legislature to get you the resources, not only for your men and women, but to also to protect all of our communities. You guys recently did a great job on the Sand Fire, Thomas Fire, and just really thankful for your leadership and service, and look forward to supporting your confirmation today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Well, thank you. I appreciate the comments and questions of my colleagues as well. I feel like we've had this conversation for a couple of decades, actually. I really feel honored to be in the position I'm in today before you as the chair of the Rules Committee. Having spent 2000 through 2008, you were our key liaison from CAL FIRE with the City of San Diego. And as we were listening to your comments, I got text messages blowing up from staff members in the City of San Diego. Actually, one who was Chris Kehoe's staff member, but who came out of the city and works with me today, who reminded me of the almost 500,000 acres between 2003 and the Cedar Fire and 2007 and the Witch Fire that cost. The Witch Fire, I think, was the largest, most expensive fire until today, which was in San Diego County. So we talked about buffer zones and general plans, and we dealt with all of that as I was on the city council in San Diego during those really difficult years. We evacuated almost 500,000 people during the Witch Fire. We learned from 2003, and we had quite a partnership with you and obviously your family at that time. So I couldn't say any more than my colleagues have, except that we do have to focus on some of the issues as the best system almost in the world. When we see our mutual aid really pushed to the brink, when we see that we need upgraded equipment, and additionally the issues around mental health, the ability to support our firefighters, you know, I'm really thrilled that you're here today. So I can't add much more than my congratulations and my thanks on behalf of my community, and now, of course, for the whole state. So we're honored, and I'm honored to be one of the first votes to put you in that position. With that, I want to see who's here to weigh in from members of our public. So I'm going to start with members of the public in support. If you want to give us your name, your organization, and brief comments, we would appreciate that.
All right. Good afternoon. Stacey Heaton with the Rural County Representatives of California, representing 36 rural counties statewide. And really pleased to be here today in support of Chief Porter. When we first met, and we've worked together for years now, first on the Tree Mortality Task Force and now the Forest Health Task Force. And when we first met, and he was from San Diego, you know, we gave him a little bit of a side eye being the rural counties, but he immediately started to reach out to our member counties and build up that trust and learn our issues. And, you know, we've had a lot of high severity wildfires in our member counties, and through these past few years, our counties have really gotten to know Chief Porter, and that trust is there, and we couldn't be happier with his appointment and to support him going forward and continuing this partnership with CAL FIRE that we've built up over the years. So we fully support him here today.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman, Terry McHale with Aaron Reed and Associates. We've represented CAL FIRE Local 2881 for over 40 years. And what we've learned is that it's the times that make the person. And Tom Porter is entering in as director of CAL FIRE at perhaps the most difficult time in CAL FIRE history. Fires that we would have thought unimaginable just 10 years ago rack the landscape now. And we do have firefighters who leave their home in March or in May and don't come home but for a couple of days until November. I want to say that Tom came to our board, and the same candor and the same decency and the same intellect and the same commitment that he is showing you, he showed our board. And he dealt with the difficult issues. Last year, the state of California's budget for CAL FIRE went up one-fifth, $200 million, because of overtime. And I can tell you, our firefighters, they like some of that overtime, but they don't want all of it. And we do need more engines. Senator Roth, this isn't the time I know to do the budget play, but we have talked about the fact we have 31 fewer engines at CAL FIRE than we had in 1975. We have fewer resources to deal with a WUI that has been abrogated by 3.5 million buildings. We need strong leadership. We need a leader that will work collaboratively with the union, that cares deeply about the firefighters, and I think we have that in Tom Porter. I will take back to my clients, to the firefighters, what I think is perhaps one of the most salient points made today, and that is that Tom Porter said when he leaves here, he wants to fix one thing. He wants to fix the job for the firefighters who are on the line. And Chief Porter and members of this committee, you have the commitment of 2881 that we will certainly work with you. God bless you, Tom. It's a big task.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Pro Tem, members. Paul Mason with Pacific Forest Trust, a forest conservation and restoration organization here in California. I've had the pleasure of working with Chief Porter for the last couple of years, and I would echo all the kind things that the previous speakers have said. Found it a pleasure to work with, and I think that the breadth of experience that he brings to the position, both on the emergency response, but also on the forest restoration side of the equation. And I appreciate the focus of the department on looking at land use and really trying to address the fact that fire is one of the places where climate change is really going to affect California most drastically and first. And it's going to require a press on all of those different things simultaneously. We're not going to fix it just with emergency response or just with land use or just with forest restoration. And I appreciate that sort of integrated thinking that Chief Porter brings to the table. So very much supportive.
Thank you very much.
Kirsten Kolpitke with the California Forestry Association in support. Given the dramatic increase in wildfires, not only in terms of acres, but in terms of severity, loss of life, and damaged property, there is a need more than ever to ensure that someone with experience in both forest management and fire suppression fill the position of Director of Forestry and Fire Protection. And we believe that Tom Porter is the right fit for this job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Tasha Newman with the California Urban Forest Council. And we, too, had the pleasure of working with Mr. Porter down in San Diego and really enjoyed that experience. We were able to meet with him recently and talk about some of the issues affecting urban forestry. We know a lot of the focus is on wildfire and forested lands, but there are dead and dying trees in the urban forest as well. And so we look forward to working with Chief Porter on those issues going forward, and we are very supportive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members. Carl London here on behalf of the California Biomass Energy Alliance. This is the association, trade association of the state's woody biomass power generators. I just want to echo the comments made by the Forestry Association. Right guy, right time. We support Chief Porter as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Pro Tem, members of the committee, Jay Ziegler with the Nature Conservancy. We are here in strong support of Tom Porter as an excellent choice to be the chief at CAL FIRE. We have had experience working closely with the department in the last 2 years as we work in comprehensive strategies to address fire threats to communities and forests across the state. And we really appreciate the skill set that Tom brings, as noted by the prior speakers, but also in reaching out to wider stakeholder groups and really understanding the importance of broad public engagement in making these comprehensive strategies work. And as we tier from these 35 priority community protection projects that the department has identified with the administration as its first line of attack in implementing some of the charter of SB 901, we look forward to working with Tom and the department and the legislature and really driving these larger landscape integrated fire management solution sets. And we feel like Tom is really the right person who's brought the right buy-in, both in the department as well as among diverse stakeholders, to make these strategies better understood and also more durable over time. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Morgan Kanin with the California Association of Local Conservation Corps in support of this confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Chris McKaylee on behalf of the Humboldt and Mendocino Redwood Companies, and we fully support the confirmation of Mr. Porter. We advocated his nomination to Governor Newsom and look forward to continuing to work with him in his new capacity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Mark Lorenzen, Ventura County Fire Chief, also Chair of the Association of Contract Counties. We've been strong partner with CAL FIRE and Tom Porter for many, many decades. And Tom and CAL FIRE supported us wholeheartedly with the Thomas Fire and the most recent Woolsey Fire. And just on behalf of the Ventura County Fire Department and the Association of Contract Counties, we strongly support Tom's appointment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, if there are members of the public here in opposition, I would invite someone forward. Seeing none, I will accept the motion by Senator Roth. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Bates.
Aye.
Bates, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk.
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Atkins.
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
It is unanimous. Congratulations.
And thank you all. And Madam Pro Tem, see you on a plane sometime.
And with that, we invite you all to leave so we can go into executive session. But congratulations to the family as well. Thank you all for being here.